Our God is with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you.
In those days, Caesar Augustus published a decree ordering a census of the whole Roman world. This first census took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All the people were instructed to go back to the towns of their birth to register. And so Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to the city of David, Bethlehem, in Judea, because Joseph was of the house and lineage of David. He went to register with Mary, his espoused wife, who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her delivery. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She put him in a simple cloth wrapped like a receiving blanket and laid him in a feeding trough for cattle, because there was no room for them at the inn. There were shepherds in the area, living in the fields and keeping night watch by turns over their flock. The angel of God appeared to them, and the glory of God shone around them, and they were very much afraid. The angel said to them, "You have nothing to fear. I came to proclaim good news to you. News of a great joy to be shared by the whole people. Today, in David's city, a Savior, the Messiah, has been born to you. Let this be a sign to you. You will find an infant wrapped in a simple cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in high heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom God's favor rests." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this event that God has made known to us." They hurried and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Once they saw this, they reported what they had been told concerning the child. All who heard about it were astonished at the report given by the shepherds. Mary treasured all these things and reflected on them in her heart. The shepherds went away glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as they had been told. The good news. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In an episode of the old sitcom, The Golden Girls, which, you know, Bob knows I love that. I love to watch The Golden Girls. I never get tired of it. But in an episode of that old sitcom, Blanche, you know, the one with a sex drive that's just off the charts, Blanche tells of how, as a little girl, she once walked in on her parents, Big Daddy and Big Mama, as they were making love. She said, "There was all this huffing and puffing and high-pitched sounds. Then suddenly, Big Daddy shouted, 'Glory!' And they both lit up cigarettes." Glory! A truly appropriate word for moments of great ecstasy. Some form of the word glory appears over 600 times in the Bible. It is a divine attribute that we can't ignore. It is mentioned in our second reading and our gospel, and the great light in our Isaiah passage is a common synonym for glory. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. What they saw was glory. Beauty is another synonym. The Greek and Hebrew words for it in the scriptures can be translated as radiance or splendor. Glory can be astounding, jaw-dropping, as in the story of the Transfiguration, where Matthew says that Jesus' face became as dazzling as the sun and his clothes as radiant as light. The disciples, the story goes, saw his glory, and they would never be the same again. Glory can take your breath away. It can leave you utterly gobsmacked, as I was when I saw the Grand Canyon for the first time. And more than just a religious concept, it is cosmological, having to do with the cosmos. I think of the Webb telescope and the images it has given us of 13 billion year old galaxies, and the stunned scientists who can't help calling it all glorious. Glory! Glory is the word I focus on this Christmas Eve at the climax of this season of lights, when light was increasingly needed in the run-up to the winter solstice, which happened on Saturday. These are times when we seem to need all the glory, all the light we can get, both literally and figuratively. We need light. Glory is the word our ancestors clung to as they struggled to convey the wonder of divine energy embodied in a tiny, obscure little Jewish baby. Glory is a theme in our traditional Christmas stories, mythical tales that stoke the imagination and take us well beyond the seemingly ordinary and into the realm of singing angels and a moving star and a virgin birth and scared shepherds and foreign wise men. Glory is a word we have heard a lot recently outside of concert halls, praising beautiful, soaring holiday music, such as performances of the Messiah, where audiences heard singers proclaim, "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, and glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth." Wow, glorious music. And in this month of Mary's Immaculate Conception, December 8th, and Our Lady of Guadalupe, December 12th, in this same month in Paris, the Cathedral of Our Lady, Notre Dame, was reopened after a horrible fire 5 years ago. And glorious was the work of a massive team of restorers who gave that iconic church a magnificent makeover. Check out the pictures, and if they don't move you, you're dead inside. Glory is beauty, radiance, splendor, great light, revelations of the holiness of the Incarnation, which we celebrate tonight. It proclaims that God is with us, Emmanuel. It comes to us through the wonderful imagination of painters and sculptors and architects and musicians and actors and dancers and writers of all kinds. Glory comes to us through artists of the kitchen and the garden and even of the bedroom, as it was with Big Daddy and Big Mama. Glorious is God, the great mystery, enfleshed in us wherever and whenever we strive for beauty. Those who decorate our plain little simple basement worship space have done just that. Glory. And we are grateful. Glory, beauty in all its forms, is a strategy for survival. I remember another aftermath of a disappointing election many years ago when I fought off depression by turning to musical mystics, the bombastic melodies of Beethoven and Tchaikovsky, And by reading modern spiritual masters such as Matthew Fox, who introduced me to Julian of Norwich and Hildegard of Bingen, I found glory there. And my spirit was restored like Notre Dame Cathedral. I remembered my call in those ugly days to live in hope and give birth to the cosmic Christ, the mysterious pre-existent word that fills the universe. Yes, I was called to give birth to that. I was reminded that the Christ came to us not just as a cute little non-threatening baby, but as the eminent teacher and strong social justice prophet that he grew up to be. I had to grow up too. I had to toss my sadness aside and take my place in the body of Christ and get to work by making God's reign of justice a reality. Oh, I walked in darkness in those days, but I survived because I saw a great light, glory. Like Blanche's Big Daddy, I'm sure that I could have shouted, glory! On June 26, 2015. But not for the reason that Big Daddy did. It was the day that the U.S. Supreme Court finally respected the marriages of non-heterosexual persons. It was a day that I thought would maybe come, but long after my lifetime. The joy that LGBTQ plus persons and their allies felt that day was amazing. There was literally dancing in the streets. It was glorious. But when a right is granted, acknowledged, it becomes imperative that we protect it. Now there is talk about overturning that gay marriage decision. But the good news is that, although it may seem that glory flickers and fades at times, it never quits. Because it comes from a divine source and is manifested in an unshakable hope. It is a hope, a glory, that the author of John's Gospel called a light no darkness can extinguish. Bring on that darkness, my light will penetrate it. It came to us, the story says, in the boy of Bethlehem, who was called the Word. The passage goes on to say, the Word was made flesh and lived among us, and we saw his glory. And we see it still. We see it every time there is holy progress toward justice and fairness. Glory. As the body of Christ, you and I not only see that glory, we carry it with us. It is not just a survival strategy, it is a power that restores and renews. Glory inspires artists and scientists to reveal new and exciting wonders, to expand our consciousness and our problem solving and our compassion so that we can have a healthier environment and an economy that works for all. Through glory, the lowly are raised to high places, and the hungry are filled with good things, as Mary proclaims in Luke's Gospel. Glory cleaned the soot off a burned cathedral and made it radiant. Glory smacked some sense into me at times in my life when I was tempted to despair. Glory moved much of America to progress past some of its prejudice and say, love is love. Glory introduced us to a God we call love, a God revealed in the wonder of creation, a God in which we live and move and have our being. And finally, dear friends, glorious is the holy woman who treasured such great mysteries in her heart. Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one, to whom she gave birth, shares that anointing with all, making us all other Christs. called to witness boldly as he did about the amazing power of love. That's the glory of Christmas. Glory! So what is Christmas glory to you? Your thoughts?